Good morning. It's great to be together, isn't it? And it's great to be together, especially when we can come together to worship God. Amen? We are continuing to focus on this whole idea of not being a fan of Jesus, but rather being a follower of Jesus, a completely committed follower of Jesus. And what does that really mean in a practical way for us in our lives? And you know, it really is a challenge for us to look at our lives and to see, okay, am I really a follower of Jesus, or have I been just content to be a fan, kind of cheering him on and really feeling good about him, but not being willing to lay down my life for him? There's a big difference between being a fan of Jesus, cheering in the stands, and being a follower who's on the field of play, sacrificing on his behalf. And that's what we're really talking about, and that's what we are focusing on. This morning, we want to focus on being fans who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And anytime, and I think most of you know this, anytime I get to talk about the Holy Spirit, I get excited, okay? Because I love to talk about the Holy Spirit, especially the way we're going to be talking about him this morning. Let me ask you this question. Think about it. How many of you, and how many times perhaps maybe in your life, have you thought to yourself, and maybe you've said it out loud to someone and talked, saying, boy, I just really wish I could have been here when Jesus was here. I wish I could have walked with Jesus like his disciples. Anybody ever felt that way? You know, I have. I've thought about it in terms of, boy, it would have been so much easier, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, there's Jesus, and walking with him and listening to him and being able to touch his garments, and wow, that would have just been so exciting, wouldn't it? Yeah. But you know what? I think the reality is that we have it better. Yeah. Yeah, I really do. Okay? And the reason for that is because in is in. Okay? In is in. You know what I mean by that? Think about it this way. Go to John chapter 16 and look at what Jesus told his disciples. Okay? In the text that we read at the very beginning here, John 16, beginning in verse 5. Now, I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Wow. Okay. Do you understand what Jesus is saying right here? What he's saying is in, okay? Being out is out, and in is in. And what I mean by that is, if you go over to Matthew chapter 3, or chapter 1 rather, in verse 23, where Joseph is being told by the angel about that he's going to be the father of the Messiah here that's coming. In other words, Mary is with child. He's thinking about putting her away quietly because she's turned up pregnant. And he describes to Joseph who this is that's coming. And guess what he refers to him as? He says he will be called what? Emmanuel, which means, he says, God. Say it again. God with us. Okay, Emmanuel, God with us. So what's happening here is God is taking on the form of a human being, and he's going to come here to this world, to this earth, and he's going to live with us. Okay, now that's really kind of cool, isn't it? Somebody says, well, how does he do that? I don't know. Okay, I can't explain that, but I believe that he did. You say, because the Bible tells me he did. God was with us. But now Jesus is telling his disciples, it's good for you that I'm leaving. Why is it good? Why would that be good? I mean, wouldn't it be better if Jesus could have stayed here all along? You see, and you and I would be able to walk with him and talk with him just like his disciples back then did, wouldn't that be better for us? Jesus says, no. No, it wouldn't. Why? Because unless I go, the Counselor cannot come. You see? Now, here's the really exciting part about it. What we begin to realize is that though Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says God is with us, John 16 is telling us that Emmanuel is leaving, but the Holy Spirit, are you with me? The Holy Spirit is coming. And how is that Holy Spirit going to live in this world? In us. Not just with us, but in us. Okay? You following me here? Are you getting this? It's not just with us. It's not just walking along with us, but it's rather dwelling and living inside of us. You see? And to me, in is better than with. You see? I mean, it would have been great to have Jesus here, but I'm grateful that I have the Spirit in me. You see? The Spirit living and dwelling within us. The Apostle Paul refers to this as a mystery that had been hidden for ages. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. He refers to it as the mystery, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope and glory. Look at what he says. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you, look at this, the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Okay? It's been a mystery all this time. And Paul says, now God has chosen to make this mystery known. And what is that mystery? He identifies it very clearly as saying, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you get that? Not Christ with you, but Christ in me. Christ in me. Are you sure? Where is He? He's in me. He's in you, and we need to be convinced of that. See, I'm not convinced that you're convinced of that. You see? Because if you were, you'd be going, yeah, it's Christ in me. Not Christ in me. You see? Do you realize what that really means for us? The power that you and I have in our lives to help us every single day to be what God wants us to be. To be the followers He wants us to be. In other words, it's taken the point where Jesus was here and He said, look, here's how I want you to live. I want you to follow Me. I'm going to show you how to do this. And those early followers were doing that. And then it goes from there to the point where Jesus is saying, okay, look, here's what I'm going to do next. I like next. Okay? I'm going to give you My Spirit in you that will empower you to continue to follow Me the way that I have shown you to follow Me. Okay? So in really is in. You see, Jesus wants to live and dwell through His Spirit in us. And you see, fans want to hang out with Jesus at church. But followers have Jesus in them. And there's a big difference between those. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And let's talk about when we have this Spirit of God living and dwelling within us, one of the things that needs to happen is we have to be willing to expose our weaknesses in order for that Spirit to really be effective in us. And that's what Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians. He talks about this thorn that he had in the flesh, something. We don't know what that was, but it was some kind of physical element that limited what he was able to do, at least what he felt he was able to do on behalf of the Lord. And so Paul's approach to that whole issue was that he prayed three different times to the Lord and said, you know, and I can just imagine the prayer. You know, Lord, if you'd heal me, if you just take this thing away from me, this affliction, then look at all the great things I could do for you. Does that prayer sound familiar to any of you? You ever prayed that way? God, if you just move this obstacle out of my way, look what I could do for you. You see? And that's what Paul was praying. But God's response to that is what? Exactly, brother. My grace, verse 9, is sufficient for you. Why? For my power is made perfect, or complete is the word there, in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, what God wants us and needs us to understand is that He has given us His Spirit to live and dwell inside of us. But unless we understand and acknowledge the weaknesses that we have, then His power cannot be effective. We limit what God can do by us trying to just show our strengths, because we just really don't like to highlight the weaknesses that we have, do we? I mean, that's not something that we generally put down on paper. You do a resume for a job, you know, you list, well, here's the problems and the struggles that I have, right? Hoping that the employer is going to go, oh, great, here's a person that likes to talk about their weaknesses. I think I'll hire them, right? No, that's not the way the world thinks. So what do? We highlight our strengths. We don't like to talk about our weaknesses. We'd rather hide those. You see? In fact, one of the things that's happening in the world out there in the business world is there are those who teach people how to apply for jobs and how to interview for jobs. And one of the things that they are teaching folks is how to get around one of the most important questions that an interviewer asks you is, tell me about your weaknesses. And they will coach people on how to answer that question without really answering the question in the sense of telling what their weaknesses really are. Why? Because we don't like to reveal our weaknesses. It makes us seem vulnerable to other people. And we don't want to feel that way, do we? We'd much rather highlight the strengths that we have and talk about those than we would our weaknesses. But yet, God, through the Apostle Paul, is making it clear here that our focus needs to change. We've got to stop focusing on the strengths that we have and focus on the weaknesses. Because unless and until we get into touch with our weaknesses and come to terms with what those are, you say, then they're going to stand in the way of God's power working in us. And that's why Paul goes on to say in here, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. You see? So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See? In order for us to be the strength that God needs us to be, we've got to understand and admit our weaknesses. Don't focus on your strengths, you say. Don't go to God and say, okay, God, I'm ready to do this for you, and I got this down and this down and this down, and I'm ready to handle all of this. what God wants from us is to be able to say, God, I'm struggling in this area of my life. God, I can't handle this. God, this is an area that is way above my pay grade. Because when we're doing that, then we're acknowledging that we can't do it, but we need God's power and strength in our lives to help us to do what it is He wants us to do. We've got to acknowledge those weaknesses so that God's power can truly be effective in our lives. And you see, fans like to highlight their strengths, but followers delight in their weaknesses. And you see, the main reason that we've got to acknowledge those weaknesses is because what that really requires us to do is to get ourselves out of the way. So we come to the question, are we Spirit-filled or are we me-filled in our daily lives? And that's a question that every single one of us needs to be asking ourselves every single day. Am I Spirit-filled or am I me-filled? Okay, because there's a world of difference between those two. Jesus told His disciples that He was leaving so that the Spirit could come. And that Spirit is going to dwell in us. But He will only do so if we make room for Him. And the only way we can make room for the Spirit in our lives is, guess what? We got to get out of there. There is not enough room in your life for you and the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? There's not enough room in there. It's a one or the other proposition, not both. Okay? How many of you ever seen the signs out on bumper stickers on cars? I've seen them all over the place. God is my co-pilot. Yeah. Yeah, you've seen them out there, okay? And it's kind of like, you know, the person that has it on there says, you know, God, I'm in control while I'm driving, but I got God over here just in case I pass out while I'm driving. He can take over, right? Or maybe perhaps if my GPS stops working, then God is handy right there next to me so that He can tell me which way to go. But I'm still driving. You see, that won't work with God. It won't work. Because it's an issue that goes back to who's in control. And again, the key word is in. Okay? In control. Is it you or is it God's Spirit that is in you? Can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. We've got to get ourselves out in order to get Him in. Okay? We've got to do one or the other. The only way that the Holy Spirit can truly be in you is if you leave. Now, for those of you who've been watching the Not a Fan series that we've been doing, I want to call your attention back to a particular scene in there, and maybe those of you who haven't been watching it will cause you to go, wow, I want to see that, okay? But there's a particular scene, you remember when Eric has his heart attack, and he's there in the hospital, and Gary is there with him, and Gary's trying to cheer him up, so to speak. And Eric says to him, I need you to leave. Hey, remember that scene? I need you to leave. Well, you know, the reality of it is, I think that all of us need to be looking at ourselves and saying that to ourselves on a regular basis. I need you to leave. Okay? Because what was happening is that Eric realized at that moment that Gary was standing in his way. Gary was trying to encourage him, but it wasn't the kind of encouragement he needed. In order for him to be what God wanted him to be, then he needed to be focusing on God, not on himself. And Gary was standing in the way. And I'm afraid that that's what we do with ourselves so often is that we are standing in the way of our own selves, of allowing God to truly live and dwell within us to accomplish His purposes for our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to, on occasion, We've got to be looking at ourselves, and when the occasion calls for it, we need to say to ourselves, I need you to lead. So that the Holy Spirit can truly work His work in me. I need you to lead. In Romans chapter 8, you turn over there and we'll finish up here. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says it this way, beginning in verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. In you. See? That's where the Spirit of God wants to dwell. Is in you. Not with you. Not riding beside you as a co-pilot, but in you, in control of your life. That's when His power becomes the most effective in our lives. When He is in us. And if you have Him in you, you belong to Christ. If you don't, then you don't. Fans are the kind of folks who are in control of their own lives. They're the ones driving the car. Followers die to themselves. So the challenge for all of us is, what are you, a fan or a follower? See? Where is the Holy Spirit concerning your life? Is He in you? Have you made room for Him in your life by getting you out of the way? Okay. Those are some really important, serious questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I suggest to you, we need to ask ourselves those questions on a regular basis. You see? It's not just a one-time thing, but it's a regular thing, daily. So that God's Spirit and overcome the weaknesses that we have and use His power to work His will in our lives. We're getting ready to sing a song in just a moment. We use it as an invitation song. The invitation is extended and open to anyone and everyone to come to the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, you've not given your life to Christ, then you need to know that your sins are separating you from God. And they will continue to separate you from Him until you give your life to Him. If you're ready to do that, then what you need to do is to confess Jesus as your Lord. You need to repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And then have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait for any special time or day or anything else. You can do it right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. If you're already a Christian and maybe you've realized some things as we talked this morning that you realize that maybe I'm still in the way and maybe I'm in control and I need to get Jesus in control of my life and have His Spirit in me. You need some help and encouragement and guidance to do that, and let us know. That's what we're here for. See? Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. He'll be back there to receive you. And I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up to respond to the Lord's invitation. Let's stand together and sing.